Good morning, church. We are going to go ahead and start opening for today's service. And yeah, so this morning, the Lord just put on my heart this Bible verse. It's Matthew 17:20. It says, Jesus replied, "Truly I tell you, if you have faith as small as a mustard seed, you can say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move. Nothing will be impossible for you." And the Lord has put faith inside of our hearts, and so we have the opportunity to activate it today and tomorrow, and from now on we can activate this faith and we can move the mountains. So, yeah, why don't we just go ahead and stand for worship, please? And I'm just going to pray to open us. So, Lord, I just thank you for today. And I just pray complete blessing over this service, that you would just touch every person's heart today, that you would let them know that they're worth it, and you know their struggles, so Lord, just help them through whatever they're going through. We've seen you move mountains, so let's see you move the Yakima Valley in Jesus' name. Amen.
Cause you unravel me with a melody, you surround me with a song. No deliverance from my enemies, till all my fears are gone. Sing, you unravel me, and you unravel me with a melody, you surround me with a song. No deliverance from my enemies, till all my fears are gone. Sing, I'm no longer, yeah, I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am a child of God. Yeah, I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am a child of God. Yeah, from my mother's womb, you have chosen me. Love has called my name, and I've been born again into your family, and blood flows through my veins. Yeah, I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am child of God. Yeah, I'm no longer a slave to fear. Yeah, I am a child of God. Yeah, I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am a child. God. What you call me.
He's for us. Though the world be against us, though every thing that seems like wants to steal, kill, and destroy us, God is for us. I wonder for a moment if we could just sing that He is for me instead of He is for you. And we sing that He is for me. In other words, we appropriate that truth for ourselves.
He is for me. 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 He is for me.
Believe it.
He is for me. 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 He is for me.
We have the privilege of taking communion. What a better way of God demonstrating how much He's for us by Jesus dying for us on the cross, by laying His life down for us. You know, no one took His life from Him. He freely laid it down. He did not have them, you know, pull one over on Him. This was His decision. This was His will and the Father's will to be our sacrifice for us. He is for us. He's fully for us. He's not against us. I know sometimes life looks like it's against you, but that's not God being against you. God is for you. His will for you is to be in health and prosper, even as your soul prospers. Hallelujah. Amen. Okay, we're going to take communion now. If you just want to come up and grab an element, it's two elements at once. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Remember, it's a two-parter. There's a light cellophane that you pull off clear. There we go. Clear and light to me is kind of the same. So, how many have ever seen the Passion of the Christ? It's a tragic, devastating movie to watch. For Encounters, we used to just watch the part that was really the torturing of Him with the whip, and then of course the crucifixion. And we would always be using that to identify with the work that He did on the cross. But if you watch that movie, or you've seen any other movie, or you've seen, read about it in the Bible, you see how He was broken. He was broken and wounded for our transgressions. And even though His bones weren't broken, every part of His flesh was torn. He was just bleeding all over the place. And He did that for us. He is for us. He is for me. He showed how much He is for us. It says that while we're yet sinners, Jesus died for us. Jesus became sin who knew no sin so that we could become the righteousness of God. So I like to remember this when we take communion, that He was broken, not just so that He could be broken, but so that we could be made whole, spirit, soul, and body. Not just partially, not just a little bit. He wants us to be whole, fully whole. Whole in our emotions, whole in our heart, whole in our being, so that we're not lacking anything that He's already given us. So, Lord, we thank You, Father, that You allowed Your Son to be broken. And Jesus, we thank You that You were broken for us so that we could be made whole. Lord, we do this right now in remembrance of what You've done for us. We do this, Lord, in commemorating, Lord, Your brokenness, Lord, on the cross, with the scourgings, with the beatings, with the crown of thorns, Lord. By Your stripes, Lord, we are healed. Lord, help us to have, as Caden shared, that faith that can move mountains, Lord, as we participate with this communion today and receive, Lord, what You've intended for us to receive, Lord, life and life abundantly. We now take this, Lord, by faith in Jesus' name. Thank You, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank You, Lord. Okay. You want to be careful with the juice because it likes to be sticky coming off. In like manner, he took a cup that night that he was being betrayed, and he said, "This is the new covenant in My blood." And a covenant's a promise. A covenant's an agreement. And how many know that really this agreement is on God's side, and we just agree with this agreement? We agree that He is the one that took everything, and we just believe in what He did. So this blood, this juice, is for us. It says that life is in the blood. Life is in this juice. And we take this by faith, believing that His life is imparted to us. Not just when we take the juice, but all the time. Because He did this so that we could become more like Him. Hallelujah. Amen. Let's go ahead and take of it now. Thank You, Lord. We thank You, Lord, for Your blood that was shed for us. Lord, we thank You, Lord, that one drop was not wasted. Lord, that Your blood, Lord, cleanses us from all righteousness. Lord, Your blood, Lord, washes us clean and purifies us and makes us like You. Lord, we just receive right now the entire work of the cross in our lives, afresh and anew today. We let you have Your perfect work, Lord, in our hearts and our lives right now in Jesus' name. And we just thank You, Lord, that what You've started in us, Lord, today, You'll continue in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank You, team.
Everything in the name. Jesus, everything in the name of Jesus. This is a house of miracles.
I still believe you're moving. I still believe you're speaking. God, I believe you're working. All things for good. I fix my eyes on
all things, Lord. Good and the bad and the ugly. Lord, you're working everything in our lives for our good, Lord. It's because we're called according to your purpose. We're called according to your plan, Lord. You're making those things work for our good. So, Lord, right now we just receive, Lord, your power. We receive the coming alive in our hearts. As we prayed last night, Lord, the same Spirit that raised you from the dead, the resurrection power that raised you from the dead, is going to give life to our mortal bodies. Lord, we receive that word. We receive that truth. We speak to our being, come alive in the name of Jesus. Come alive in the name of Jesus' body. Let your life flow, Lord, in this place. Let your life flow to those who are listening. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. 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 We'll take a few minutes and greet each other. God bless you all.
Morning. We're going to do something that we've been doing for a while now. We're going to pray for the Yakima Valley. And I told pastors this week, this has been something that's stirring on my heart. We used to do something at another church that we attended where we would make declarations actually over our offering. And it was really powerful when we did it. And we're not going to do that necessarily. We're actually going to do a declaration over our city. And I don't know if you guys know this, but there is a big difference between saying something and declaring something. And we broke this down at youth on this last Monday for our kids. And I told them there's a difference between your parents saying, hey, it's time to eat, and sit down and eat. Right? Like those are two different things. Right? And there's a difference between, Lord, I want my city to be blessed, and we're actually going to declare that my city is blessed. Right? Obviously, we're not yelling at the Lord. That's a bad idea. I wouldn't do that. It's between you and him. But anyways, what we're going to do is, Skyler, you could put the first slide up. And we have about four different slides, and we're going to run through these. And we are going to, as a congregation, we're going to say this together, okay? And so what I want you guys to do, I know we just got comfortable, but if you would just stand with me, all right? And as in unison, as one, I will lead the charge, and you guys just say it along with me, okay? Here we go. One, two, three. Thank you, Lord, for what you are doing in the Yakima Valley right now. And today we declare that my city will be saved, that revival will sweep the streets of the Yakima Valley, that every business, big or small, will thrive, that the families in my city will have all of their needs met. I declare that every politician in our city and state would have the wisdom of heaven, that you would use me in doing all of these things. And I declare that your will be done in Yakima as it is in heaven. Amen. Come on, can we just give a shout to God? Thank you, Lord, for my city. Thank you, Lord, for Yakima. And I just, again, continue praying for the blessing, what you have for the valley, what you have for the upper, the lower, all places in between, and what you're doing, Lord, in our city. And I thank you so much, Jesus, that you're not done with Yakima. You're not done. We are not just a blip in the state of Yakima, but we're actually going to bring revival to our world. Amen. In Jesus' name, amen. I challenge and encourage you guys, you know, when you're driving around anywhere, and if you just can have a quick second and just say the word, revival. Revival in the Yakima Valley. When we lived in Portland, this was big on my heart that you know, we that was our city, and so we I wanted to see revival, and big things are happening in Portland. There's lots of great things happening, believe it or not. And we didn't live in like the city. We lived in the outskirts, but we would drive whether we were driving back to Washington or we were driving wherever we were driving, there was a certain overpass that we would drive, and we would get this amazing glimpse of our city. We'd get an amazing glimpse of the buildings and just it was beautiful. The big welcome to Portland sign with, I think it has like a deer on it or something, like we'd see that sign and what would we say, Caden?
Revival.
We would just put our hands out and we'd just say revival. And it was weird, and we probably looked super weird to other cars, but I didn't care because I knew that there was something that I wanted. I have to have a part in it, okay? And so I say, if you're out, it doesn't have to be downtown. It could be in your part of town, in your part of the, you know, I know we have people, they're not here right now, but that live in the lower valley. And, you know, we have me mom who lives out in Tyton. And so it doesn't have to be the Yakima city limits, if you will. And so do you guys have something? Okay.
My daughter lives in Missouri and is associated with International House of Prayer. And she called me about Yakima. For the next month, they will be praying for places that do not have anything to do with church or anything, mainly in the colleges and in the schools. And the only thing that came up on the map was Perry Tech. They have nothing Christian, anything to do with Christian and everything. And so Mary has put that on the top of the list, and she asked me to share it with you, and maybe you can be praying for Perry Tech to bring something about the Lord into the community. And as far as she can find out, all of our schools have something that has to do with youth and the Bible and our college and everything. And it'll be a whole month that International House of Prayer will be praying for special places like that. And they wanted us to know about it. And we could pray too, because I told her about us praying for Yakima.
Amen. Good. So good. Yeah, thank you, Phyllis. That's powerful. And there's, you know, I know we, you know, you guys remember, I think it was last year we had the BSSM team come, and I had students from there reach out to me and saying, it's on our heart to pray for Yakima. And, you know, they have nothing to do with Yakima. They don't know Yakima other than the small time they spent here. I have a friend in California, and she has it on her heart to pray for our specific church and for Yakima. And so that's very powerful. I love that. You said with IHOP, right? International House of Prayer. Awesome. Thank you, Jesus. So yeah, keep praying for our city. So, announcements, right? Is this the only announcement other than an offering? Okay, cool. Awesome. So, next Sunday, the 27th, we are doing our youth spaghetti fundraiser. So after service today, there will be two dashingly beautiful children that will be sitting out in the foyer ready to receive you if you would like to pre-purchase tickets to the fundraiser. You can, if you have cash, great. We have the ability to take card as well. Again, the whole concept of this is that we are raising money for our youth. Next Sunday when we do it, it'll be, for the most part, youth ran. Our youth will be serving, and I told them this Monday, and they were very excited. Not really, but they'll be here serving, and so you know, our heart is just to make sure we have funds to do stuff with our kids and to continue growing that ministry, and you know, going to camp and eating pizza and drinking Mountain Dew and whatever we do. It's going to be great. It's going to be great. But yeah, next Sunday, make sure you mark it on your calendar. We want everybody there. And again, this is something too for you guys to invite your friends and family to. Even if they don't come to church that Sunday, that's okay. Let them know, hey, after service, let's say 12:30-ish, because we don't always end at the same time. Come and you could have, you know, some spaghetti. And don't worry, we're not going to turn anyone away if they cannot. You know, afford a plate. You know, obviously we are trying to raise money, but this is all donation based. And so whatever anybody wants to give above and beyond, that's amazing. And if somebody comes and they're hungry, here's some spaghetti. Okay. And we're going to have bread and salad as well. And we're going to be raffling off some cool items, as well. Yes. Yeah. Yeah. If you don't want to stay, sure. We can make your plate to go. And you know, that'll work. Yep. If you want to just, you know, order from home, you could, I'm just kidding. We're not doing that. any way possible, right? Delivery. Yes. I'm just delivering spaghetti all over my car. Thank you for giving. Yes, you can give online, as you know, at onelifefamilyworship.com. Really simple. Or we have our, treasure chest over here, our offering chest, and then in the back as well, you can continue to give there. And thank you guys for doing that. One more
thing. David and Tanya had their baby. This is Madden Martinez, and he is here. He got here on Tuesday, Thursday night to Friday morning, 2 a.m, so it'd be Friday, I guess. So he is here, and that's why we're not having lunch. So we will schedule it in a few weeks. Isn't he just adorable? Yeah, he is. He's so precious. And we went and took dinner yesterday and got to love on them, and he is a beautiful baby. Wait till you see him. He's just gorgeous.
Awesome. Congratulations to them. Yeah, if you guys get a chance, if you have access to them, or make sure you tell them congrats, because babies are always good news. All right, so I'm going to share a message about love. And this message was put on my heart. I don't know if you guys know this, but Nancy and I do a podcast. And this isn't necessarily promoting the podcast. This isn't a One Life Family Worship production. The views and opinions expressed on said podcast do not represent One Life Family Worship. And so please know that if you listen, it's not like, yeah, we've been doing it for about 3 years now, and it's called the Lopez Sit Down, and it's on Spotify and iTunes, and we have a really good time doing it. You know, we've been doing it, like I said, for a few years now, and since we started, have been through different seasons and have moved states and, you know, changed jobs and had, you know, another kid. And so it's been interesting to do that through, and we interview friends. Anyways, all that to say, we were recording one of these podcasts, and my wife had brought up a verse, and we started talking about love. And, you know, I think love is something we all have an idea of what it is. And I could ask each one of you, what does love mean to you? And you could, you know, spout out your version or your definition or the Webster's definition or whatever, right? But let me start by saying this. If it's the only true love that can save lives, that can change lives, that can bring freedom, that can take a person that is you know a lowly sinner that's down and out and make him or her a son or daughter, is the love of Christ. Like, the love of Christ is probably the most powerful force that you and I will ever experience. And I just want to start, there, because I think that love, yeah, obviously we're Christians. We're supposed to love, and we're supposed to have love in our hearts. And, you know, I, not even growing in the church, like, I knew that, like, about God, like God, you know, my mom always say, have God in your heart. But I think if we don't understand that actually, like, God's love, once he's freely given it to us, right? He doesn't ask, you know, he just is, here it is. Like, here it is. I'm not asking you to do anything. Just I'm here. Just step into me and you get love, right? There's no, like, special class you have to take. There's no special book you have to read. There's no, you know, like, amount of church you have to go to or anything. Like, he's like, just accept it. That's what I'm asking you to do. Like, here it is. Just accept it. If we can just get that into our spirit, I think not only will our lives begin to be transformed in areas where we're not seeing transformation, but we'll also begin to see the people around us, their lives change. Because if we can gather love in our own heart for every single person around us, what would that do to our sphere of influence? What would that do to our workplaces? What would that do to our schools? What would that do to our community? What would that do to our church? If this place was just a pool of love, right, where any person that walked in this place, they automatically were just met with love. Like, what would that actually look like if that was not only this church, but every church, to the point where there was never again a story about somebody walking into a house of God and getting hurt? Because they weren't met with anything. They weren't met with judgment. They weren't met with criticism, but they were just met with love. Now, am I saying that people don't need correction? Yes, that is as well. But I think sometimes as a church, we can focus too much on, hey, let's make sure we point out everybody's faults in love. Because if they don't know what they're doing wrong, then how are they going to get better? And there's some truth to that. But if we're not careful, we can leave out God's love. All right. So let me just read some, Bible. Matthew 22, 37 in the NLT reads it like this. It says, Jesus replied, this is, we all heard this verse. Pharisees are asking Jesus, what's the greatest commandment? They're trying to trap him. And Jesus replied, you must love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. A second is equally important. Love your neighbor as yourself. So he's saying love God. And he doesn't say, and if you have time, love everybody else like you love yourself. Right? Christians, we know how to love God, right? I think we get the general concept of that, right? And we say, that's the most important thing. It is important. But I'm reading, Jesus said, or another translation, he says, just like it. But I love how it says the NLT. And second is equally important. Love your neighbor as yourself. So it's not, find how to love God, and then maybe you'll figure out how to love the person that is, you know, annoying you, or that, you know, you just don't like or whatever, right? I'll be the first to say that and I'll get to this down the road, that there are people in this world that are hard to like, right? I'm not, you know, going to add any fluff to that, right? I'm not going to pretend like as a pastor, as a Christian, that it's just like, yeah, everybody's likable and no, people have bad attitudes and people have things about them that it's just, you know, you just don't mesh. So, however, there is still this ability and necessity, us as believers, to learn how to love everybody. Okay. I found love at a young age. I don't know if you guys know this, but I was married prior to marrying Nancy. I was about 9 years old. And I married a girl when I was in third grade. And it started like this. It started like this. I went to Roosevelt Elementary off 16th. I always like to brag about that because it's the only school in elementary school that has the hill. And during the winter, we were just amazing school, right? And so I walk into school, Mr. Wright's class, and I was a big Power Ranger fan. You guys remember Power Rangers? Okay, it was a whole craze. You were doing adult stuff when Power Rangers were out. Okay, but Power Rangers came out. I was, about 7 or 8, something like that. It took over the world. It was a craze. I mean, I think they're still making shows, to be quite honest. And so it has not stopped. But anyways, when it first came out, it was the biggest thing. I was really into it, just like any other boy was, any other person was. And I had this Power Ranger watch, and I don't know why I had a watch at 9 years old. I don't know what I was keeping track of. I don't know where I was going, or I don't even know if it was set right. Okay. But I had a watch, and it had the Red Ranger on it, and you'd flip it open and you could see the time. Awesome. So I wore that watch. Walking to Mr. Wright's class one day, and we're circling up, and I look over and I see what I would say now, if I had words for it then at 9, was a godsend, a divine moment, if you will. But there was my future wife, Tanya Nugent, and she was wearing a pink Power Ranger watch, the same one, just pink. So it was destiny then, right? It was obviously God. I believe in miracles, and God put a miracle right in front of me. And so we became boyfriend and girlfriend. I don't know what that means, because I guess our relationship was basically Monday through Friday from 8:15 to 3:15 or whatever. But anyways, we were a thing. That was our title. So one day, after however long we had been boyfriend and girlfriend, living, you know, in this happy relationship, things started to get serious. And one morning, or one day, I get to school and Tanya says, "Eric, I had a dream." And I said, "Okay." And she said, "I had a dream that we got married." And I said, "Okay." And she said, "I think that's what we should do at recess." And I said, "Well, yeah, obviously we have been in this relationship long enough, and we need to take the next step and get married." So, so last recess of the day, we go out in the playground, and our friend Mandy is the officiator, and she, you know, marries us. She says the words. I don't remember all the details. We don't kiss or anything because we were 8, and I think we like shook hands maybe, and then all of a sudden she has, you know, she. I didn't know this, but she had brought like a baby. And so then she was like, "This is our baby." So then we have a baby. So things moved very quickly. Okay. Very quickly. And then, things turned for the worse. I don't know how, because we were set up for so much success, right? But what happened was, you know, we were fine with us knowing, like, this is our marriage, right? We're married. But we didn't want, like, we're kids, so we don't want people knowing that we did this, like, childish thing out in the playground. Well, Mandy, our officiator, turned into our Judas, and she betrayed us. And she went into school. She went back into class and told our whole class what we did. And we were embarrassed. And me and my new wife, we looked at each other, and we had our first like real like, you know, marriage moment where we had to decide, "I think it's time for us to get a divorce." I think that is the next responsible step, is that we get a divorce and you have the baby on every other day. And anyways, and so then I proceed to go to every kid in the class and just tell him or her, "Hey, me and Tanya, we're not together anymore. We got a divorce. Things are really rough. Don't ask me about it. I don't want to talk about it." Right. And that was the end of the relationship. And my second marriage is going very, very well, I would say. We're pushing 16, 17 years and have 4 kids. So I say things are pretty serious with Nancy at the moment. But my point in sharing that silly story is just love. The love of God is so much grander and serious It's not a fake love. It's not a pretend love. It's not a fairy tale love. And I want to make sure that we understand that as we grow in love with Jesus, as we grow in love with God's people, because again, when you choose God, when you say yes to God, you say yes to God's people. You don't get one without the other. And I know sometimes some of us wish that it could be that way. And we wish, you know, it could just be me and God, right? But God never intended it to be that way. From the very beginning, God said, it's not good for man to be alone, right? And this is why we have people in our lives. And sometimes it'd be great if every single time, every single person in our corner or every single person in our sphere was likable and had a great attitude and was always, you know, did what we said and all the stuff, right? But that's not always, rarely how life works. And so recognize that the love that we have, the love that we're gaining in the Lord is not a pretend love. It's actually a real and powerful love. It's not a love found in two 8-year-olds on a playground, right? It's a love that is so overpowering, right? So I actually don't really even have the words to say it, but a love that is willing to send his only son to die for you is the best way. And that's not even, you know, that's the Bible. For God so loved the world, which includes everybody in this room, everybody who has been, everybody that will be. Even the worst person you can possibly think of, God sent his only son to die for that person. Okay? So John, let's read some more Bible. John 13. I have a lot of Bible today, and I think that's okay, right? John 13:34 says this, a new command I give you, love one another as I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another. My first point is love is our trademark as a follower. Love is our trademark. When we walk away, this is my hope, and I know that this is going to take work, and I know we're not always going to get this, right? My hope is that every person that we leave, every encounter that we leave, every relationship, business, you know, house, anywhere that we leave, that there actually is a little bit of love that was left in that place, right? Like, what would it look like if every conversation, whether it be a good conversation or a conversation of conflict, what would it look like if every conversation we had somebody, we both walked away, or at least that person walked away feeling loved? Like, what would that look like? I don't know if you guys know this, but not all conflict is bad. Right? And conflict isn't a bad word. It's actually okay to have conflict, like it you know, in a healthy way. And there's a way to have conflict with people, have conflict with our spouses, with our kids, with our loved ones, and be actually able to both of us walk away feeling loved, not feeling like I was right and you were wrong, or I'm mad and you're mad, but actually like we can both walk away with a sense of love and completely disagree. This may come as a surprise to you, but I have very strong opinions. Okay? And I frequently tell my wife, I do not agree with what you're saying. Now, I say it from like behind a table, so there's like space between. No, I'm joking. I that's not true. But I say it in a way, obviously, like I don't come at it like in a disrespectful manner, right? Like, you're wrong, I disagree, I'm right, hear my opinion, right? But I want her to know that you're allowed to think that, but I disagree with that. And I say that just to say that there's a way to have conflict with the people you love the most and walk away where we're both feeling loved. Where I'm not walking away feeling beat up and misrepresented, and they are, or my wife in this instance, is not walking away. And sometimes, you know, you have to walk away and then come back together and be like, okay, we still disagree, but let's, the one thing we can agree on is that we love each other. right? That we were passionate about each other, right? And so, and obviously that's with the spouse, but with anybody, you know, I mean, you might have coworkers, you might have people that you bump into in the grocery store and they have a nasty attitude, right? And this is where it gets hard, because I can talk all day about people that we love and how, and what it looks like for us to continue to love them right where they're at. But the rubber meets the road when we get into a situation and you bump into somebody in the grocery store and it's an accident, I'm sorry, but then they flip the switch and then they're being nasty to you, right? And you're like, I'm a Christian, but I'll cut you, right? And I know some of your guys' past, okay? I know that there's still a little bit of that, you know, whatever in there, right? Those are the moments where this comes into practice, where we like, oh, do I actually have this love of Christ so much where when situations like that arise, I can still walk away. Yeah, I'm upset because of the nasty attitude, but I can still love them really well, right? So, if what we're, sorry. So the first point, love is our trademark as a follower. 1 Corinthians 13 in the Passion, verse 1 says, if I were to speak with eloquence in earth's many languages and in the heavenly tongues of angels, yet I didn't express myself with love, my words would be reduced to the hollow sound of nothing more than a clanging cymbal. Essentially, if what we're doing isn't being done out of love, we're just being annoying. If we're not coming to people or coming to any instance with love, then we're just making noise. We're just making noise. Those of you who have kids or have had kids, right? You know what that's like, where there's just noise for no reason. Why is that thing being banged on the floor? I don't understand. Why is, you know, there's like, it's just noise. And so if we're not operating out of a place of love, then we're just a clanging cymbal. And we may have all the best, intentions in the world. But again, if your intentions aren't birthed out of a place of love, then we're just a clanging cymbal. Continuing reading in 1 Corinthians 13 in verse 4. And I love, this is the Passion. I love how the Passion puts it. It says, love is large and incredibly patient. Love is gentle and consistently kind to all. It refuses to be jealous when blessing comes to someone else. Love does not brag about one's achievements nor inflate its own importance. Love does not traffic in shame and disrespect, nor selfishly seek its own honor. Love is not easily irritated or quick to take offense. Love joyfully celebrates honesty and finds no delight in what is wrong. Love is a safe place of shelter, for it never stops believing the best for others. Love never takes failure as defeat, for it never gives up. We've most likely heard this verse many a times at weddings, in church, you know, and we like to parade this verse because it's just so poetic and it's pretty. But this is truth, and I would say a mandate on our lives. This is the love God is asking, not only expressing, this is my love for you, my children, but this is the same love I expect you to show my children, right? And this is the verse that Nancy brought up to me when we were doing our podcast, and I love how my wife said it, because she said, because God is love, we can all agree with that, right? God is love. So if we just for a second do a little revision here, if you will, and let's just run it back again, Pastor, in verse 4. God is large and incredibly patient. God is gentle and consistently kind to all. God refuses to be jealous when blessings come to someone else. God does not brag about one's achievements. Okay. If we go a step further, when we get saved, my understanding of this, 17 years ago, I believe it was, right here, at this around this area, I came up to the altar from the back to the front, answered an altar call, said yes to Jesus. Somebody prayed for me. At that moment, I receive Jesus in my heart, right? Am I in the ballpark if that's how it works? Now he's here, right? I receive him. I'm a new creation. So now, because God is love, because Jesus is love, I now then have a love inside of me. And so then in one way, I could read this how it should be. Eric is large and incredibly patient. Eric is gentle and consistently kind to all. Now, that's not true. I'll be the first to tell you.
Amen.
I'll be the first to tell you. Galen will be the second. Skyler will be the third. And we'll just keep going down the aisle, right? Right? But it's challenging. And this is the mandate on a life that God's like, this is the standard. Now, will we meet that? No, we won't. But I don't see that as an excuse to not actually try. To not actually try to be God's perfect reflection of love. Now, again, I'm going to mess up. I have messed up. I will mess up. I mean, I didn't want to preach on love today. I didn't want to preach at all. To be quite honest, to be quite transparent, as this, I had a rough week. We were sick all week. The whole family was taken out. The only one that was healthy was Leona. The one who could do nothing for any of us, right? Aside from Tegan, right? But we were all sick. I was not feeling good. I had, you know, kind of an emotional day yesterday. And I went to bed last night thinking, I don't want to preach. I woke up this morning kind of with the same unction. I don't want to preach. But I believe that this word that God wants us to know is that, hey, if we can just learn to love, if we can learn to get this thing inside of us and recognize that this is the standard he's putting on us, that I can level up in my love. We all can level up in our love. And this is a love we don't understand, but it's required. So the second thing I want to say is the second point. Love goes above and beyond our understanding. Love doesn't make sense, right? For those of us who are married, or those of us who have been in relationships, we understand that when we fall in love, we do ridiculous things, right? And we act ridiculous, and it's silly. And I've told you guys before, like when Nancy and I started dating, she lived all the way in Tyton, but did that keep me from going out to see her? No. Even when I had an hour break or 2 hour break, and literally drove the half hour to go hang out for 45 minutes, to drive the half hour back, to work for a couple more hours, to drive the half hour back out there, to stay for a couple hours, to drive the half hour back to go to bed. I mean, it was insane. Like, it's just, but I was in love and I didn't care. Because I was going to go out and see the girl that I was in love with, right? So, and that's just a small understanding of what I've been trying to say. Love goes above and beyond our understanding. God's love is that, what I was just saying, that all craziness of driving back and forth, and more. It's so much greater. Now, God would do that, you know, a billion times over for us, right? And this is why I love that song, Reckless Love. Because it is a perfect depiction, in my mind, a perfect depiction of the Father's love for his children. That there's nothing that's going to keep me from you, right? I'll kick down every wall, right? I'll shine light on every darkness corner, right? My love for you is so much greater. And people got offended when that song came out because of the word reckless. That word reckless. But if you think about it as a parent, okay, let's break it down again to human terms. As a parent, let's say this whole room was crowded. Or let's say we're out at the mall and it's crowded, right? And my Leona is 20 feet away from me. I can see her, but there's just a crowd of people. Now, am I going to say, excuse me? No, sorry. No, I'm not. What am I going to do? I'm pushing people. I'm elbowing people, right? Knocking old ladies down. I'm just kidding. We'll do that, right? But I'm going to do whatever it takes to get to my little girl, right? That's this picture that this song is painting, that God wants us to know, is that no matter what's in front of me, I'm going to get to you. No matter how far you get, like that's how deep God's love is for us. No matter what. God's love goes above and beyond our understanding. It's the feet washing kind of love. Right? We read this story of Jesus washing his disciples' feet, and we're going to read it in a second. Right? And I've always just kind of read over this, like, okay, that's a holy thing, and people do it. We even still kind of have moments where we do it in church, you know, and I've seen different ministries where they do it, but I've never actually understood the weight of this. Because in Bible days, it wasn't the people of the most notoriety that were washing people's feet. No, it was the servants, or even worse, the slaves. They were washing feet. And why that's even more significant is because they had sandals, and they were walking on roads that were made of dirt all day, or working out in the dirt in sandals. And so imagine you come in and your feet are just covered in muck, and not just a little bit, a lot. And it wasn't just like a nice little, hey, let me just hose this thing down for you. No, it's like, let me scrub in between. Let me get all this dirt off, right? Like, it was a gross act that they had to do. And we see Jesus getting on his feet, getting a towel around him, getting on his hands and knees, and washing the feet of his disciples. It's a feet washing kind of love that Jesus is asking us to do. John 13:12. This is the story. This is after he washed their feet. It says this: when he finished washing their feet, he put on his clothes and returned to his place. Do you understand what I've done for you? He asked them. You call me teacher and Lord, and rightly so, for that is what I am. Now that I, your son and teacher, have washed your feet, you also should wash one another's feet. I have set you an example that you should do as I have done for you. Very truly, I tell you, no servant is greater than his master, nor is a messenger greater than the one who sent him. Now that you know these things, you will be blessed if you do them. This is the kind of love that brings revival. This is the kind of love that changes the city. Not a passive love. A love that is sometimes painful. Right? Now, you all know, you've been around long enough to know that people will hurt you. And this is where we get hung up as well, is that, well, I've been hurt so many times, so I can't actually learn this thing that you're talking about. I can't get to that love. And that's okay. I'm not saying that we have to walk out of this place and now you have it, right? I'm saying, though, at least let's start going on the journey of figuring out how we level up our love. Right? There may be people that you may be even thinking of is that I actually have the hardest time loving them. Right? I actually have the hardest time. My heart is hard towards them. And my hope is that everybody in this place would be able to walk in true freedom from any sort of a stone heart, anything, right? Because God has so much better for you than that. And the same way he looks at you, the same way if you were over there and there was so much in front of him and he would do anything to get to you, is the same thing he would do for that person that you're thinking of. The third thing, the final thing I'll say is this: love isn't just for the people we like. It's just not for the people we like. We all know it's easy to love people that are lovable and that we like and that say nice things about us and that whatever. That's easy. Anybody can do that, right? The real struggle is, and I think the real reason why Jesus continued to put emphasis on love and showing the Pharisees of, hey, I'm going to love this person because I'm going to show you that I'm not here just for all the fancy looking people. I'm actually here for all these people too. The story in John 8 of the woman caught in adultery, right? One of my favorite stories, because I love that he shows them, I'm not just here to save the people who are wanting to get it all together. I'm here for the people whose life is still a mess. I'm here for the woman who literally probably got drug out of another man's bed naked and you're sitting in front of me. I'm here for her, right? Like, these are the people. So it's not just for the people that we like or the people that make us feel good. That's great. Continue loving them really well. But what about the people who maybe don't even know what love looks like? What if we begin looking for those people? What would it look like for us to begin looking for those people in our city, looking for those people while we're at the grocery store or we're at work or whatever, right? And actually, again, leaving our trademark on them is that, oh, they felt loved today. Let me read this last verse. This is in Matthew 5. And again, I just loved how the Message said it best. It says, you're familiar with the old written law, love your friend, and it is unwritten companion. Hate your enemy. I'm challenging that. I'm telling you to love your enemies. Let them bring out the best in you, not the worst. When someone gives you a hard time, respond with the supple moves of prayer. For then you are working out of your true selves, your God-created selves. That is what God does. He gives his best, the sun to warm and the rain to nourish to everyone, regardless. The good and bad, the nice and nasty. If all you do is love the lovable, do you expect a bonus? Anybody can do that. If you simply say hello to those who greet you, do you expect a medal? Any run-of-the-mill sinner does that. In a word, what I'm saying is grow up. Your kingdom subjects. Now, live like it. Live out your God-created identity. Live generously and graciously toward others the way God lives toward you. This is a big ask, and I understand that. And I understand that this is process. But if we can understand, just for a second, if we can understand the amount of love that God pours out on us on a daily basis, right? Every second, just pouring out the love, right? If we can just get a glimpse of that in our minds and in our hearts, then I think we can, as believers, as the church, we can do better in the love department. I think for too long, the church has not been the representation of love for decades and decades. Now, I haven't been in the church that long, but what I've learned from history is that it hasn't always been people have equated, oh, yeah, people who go to church, they're people that love really well. I actually don't hear that too much. And I would really love it if that would begin to change. And I know we're a small church. I know we're a small congregation. But I know that we still can have a splash in this department. Amen? You guys with me? Do you have something, Gigi?
I want to read something to you. It says, and again, unconditional love means love always. And covenant love means love anyways. Both kinds of love are essential to living this life right. Anything else is contrary to the way we were made. God knew what he was doing with his expectations of us, teaching us to love. Love the Lord our God with everything, and our neighbor, friend, brother and sister in Christ, co-worker, next door neighbor or the one down the street, mailman, grocery clerk, and love our neighbor as me. This was written 23 hours ago and given to me by the Lord. And it's amazing and miraculous, but so God that he would confirm that he is doing something in this local church. He is reiterating and trying to get the message across lovingly to love. If we don't get it, he'll do something else to get the message across. But he loves us so much that he would put this on my heart with almost every one of these scriptures yesterday morning. And now here, he's preaching on it, and I didn't tell him anything. He didn't know that. That is how much God loves us, that he would step out enough to put it on both our hearts. Can I give another example? This morning, as I'm walking down the stairs for prayer to the prayer room, the Lord said, and a child shall lead them. And I didn't know that God had laid something on Caden's heart. Caden, this young man that is so powerful in the Lord already, God had given him a word. And I'm like, when the Lord says to me, you know, and a child shall lead them, I'm like, what's that all about, Lord? Like, you know, it seems so crazy, like out there, like here's this subject. I had no idea, but it's because Caden had a word and the Lord was saying to me, this is powerful. Pay attention. That is how he loves us. He says, pay attention. Are we paying attention to his love? I mean, our babies, when our babies come and give us a hug, we feel their love, but they don't always say, I love you. Oh, you're the best thing in the whole wide world. But when they do, it's easy to pay attention to them. But when they don't, we have to still love. God still loves you even when you do not hear it, feel it, say it back. Love, love, love. That's what it's all about. And that's what is going to make us the church that God wants us to be.
So good. So good. Thank you, Gigi. No, that's so good. And she's totally right about the kid thing. Tegan's one. He just turned one this last week. And he doesn't talk yet. But he, yeah, you just, you love him so much. And he gives you nothing back. It's actually like, you're doing everything for him, feeding him, changing him, clothing him, keeping him warm, keeping him alive. Not even a thank you, nothing. But there's still this like love, right? And somebody used to say this, that because, as you guys know, he's still in diapers and that stinks sometimes. But it's not in those moments, like I don't love him less with a full diaper. God still loves you in your stinky diaper, right? It's true though. Like I don't love him less because he reeks and he's just spreading his smell through the house. Like I'm like, no, that's not how it works. Like I still love him even still. Now we're going to get that cleaned up, but that's God, right? He's like, I still love you even though you have a big stinky diaper full of attitude right now, full of pride right now, full of arrogance, full of whatever you want to fill it with, right? I still love you even with that. So let's pray. And if you need prayer, if you feel like this message spoke to you, your heart's stirring, there's somebody you need to forgive, there's you need to forgive yourself, there's restoration you need, I just want to encourage you. The altar's open. You could always come up. We're here to pray for you and with you, and we want to do that. But just agree with me right now. Lord, I thank you so much. I thank you, Lord, that you give an immeasurable amount of love for us, God, and that there are so many ways you could show us your love, that you could express your love for us, God, and you chose to send your only Son for me, for everyone in this room, for everyone who could hear my voice. You chose to send him to die for us, God, Lord, and I thank you so much, God. I pray that the love that you need us to feel, that you want us to feel, God, right now, that there would just be, yeah, a sense of your presence right now, a presence of your powerful love in this place, God, that not one person would walk out of here doubting, Lord, they would not doubt the love that you have for them. Jesus, we thank you. We thank you for who you are, what you've done, what you continue to do. We thank you that you never stop pursuing us. God, I pray for those who have been thinking about those who are hard to love, who have people in their lives that it's been a struggle for, who have people in their sphere of influence that it's a struggle. And God, I just pray for restoration, God. Pray for a spirit of restoration to come into this place, God, that you would begin, continue to equip us with the ability to love. Because everything you've poured out into us, God, we then have to pour out into others. So we thank you. for your mercy. We thank you for your grace. We thank you for your presence. God, we thank you that you just love us so much and you never stop. And we thank you for all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I love you guys. You guys are amazing. Is there anything I'm forgetting? You guys are good? Okay. So, have a great week. The kids are going to be back there selling stuff for spaghetti. So please, please do that. And we love you. Have a great week.